Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday. I hope you all had a great week, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend to follow. And hello, Rex. How are you tonight?
Hello, hello, hello. What's doing?
Oh, you know, not too much. Not too much. Same old, same old. You know, always sleepy. That's me. And, yeah, other than that, not a whole lot. Our weather's getting warmer, which is makes me feel good because it might happen someday. We might actually have spring. You know, it made me hopeful this week. Of course, we could have a blizzard tomorrow, but, you know, never know. Yeah, so other than that, not much. What's new with you?
Not a thing. A rainy not day. That's about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to say hello in the room. Hello, Robbie. Hello, Quicken. And I saw Errant Panther. So hello, Errant Panther. Although, I didn't see Aaron put one on the board. So I don't know. He might have just been passing through. But, you know, we'll see, I guess. You never know what might appear. Oh, my goodness. So, yes, it's another wonderful Friday. Quiet and relaxing. Hello, Dark and Doris. How are you tonight? It is all good. Oh, yes, yes. We got a few for you tonight, Rex. One, two, three. I got three. Yeah. Yes, because I believe, yep, Yep, Dark and Doris, yes. I requested that you read hers because she wanted it from a male voice. So I think, anyway, she asked for you. So, yeah, you're going to have some fun. So I think, we have a nice board of poetry. We really do. We have, a wonderful cast of characters. But good poets and great writes. And, yeah, it should be a nice night. I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. So I'm trying to think. Is there anything else exciting? Oh, before I go any further, just so everyone knows, Aphasiana is still under the weather, so there will not be a part sinner, part saint tonight. I don't want to forget to say that and let everyone know because, you know, it's a shame, but I'd rather have her feeling better. So that's the way it works. That's the way it works. Yes. Unless Rex and I did an extended version and did a 4-hour show, I don't know if I could do that. Because by then, all of my comments would kind of amount up to abadabadabaliki. Because I wouldn't, after a while, I just can't think anymore. It's hard for me to think in the beginning. Just saying. But, so now that I've passed on that message, I feel better. And I'll try and remember to say it again at the end of the show. So that way anyone who didn't hear the early part would know. And yes, look at this. He's talking about frozen blueberries and yogurt. Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me.
Frozen blueberries go great with oatmeal too.
Oh yeah, you know what? The best thing I ever made was I made this cream cheese pound cake, right? And I was making it up and mixing it. Well, wait a minute, I have frozen blueberries out there. I dumped those frozen blueberries in this pound cake and I baked it up. My grandson loved it. He ate it like there was no tomorrow. So I said, yep, no stuff. Make sure you freeze up those blueberries. Sometimes you buy fruit and it just doesn't move. Sometimes I buy it and it goes in like a matter of days. Other times I buy it and it just sits there. So when I see a slow time, I just take the container, just put the whole container of fruit in the freezer, just freeze it up. You know, it's so much better than just letting it rot or go to waste or get funky, you know, because when it turns so quickly, you know. So, a frozen blueberry.
Yeah. The IQF fruit is really good, especially blueberries.
I like that. I usually have bananas, strawberries, and blueberries in the freezer and the refrigerator if I can. And now he's craving pound cake with frozen blueberries. See? It's easy recipe. Cream cheese pound cake. Quicken's breaking out the smelling salts for me. I'm telling you, there's days where I've needed it. That's for darn sure. Oh, my gosh. So I don't know. There's not too much happening. I don't know if Pam's calling in. She hasn't said anything today. She doesn't have anything on the board, so I'm thinking probably not. So it might just be you and I, and maybe someone else that might call in. Hint. You know, you got to do that around here. And we'll have a few laughs. Yes. I don't think Quicken likes to dial the phone. Because he never calls. Robbie, of course, he does call in occasionally. Sometimes he calls in a lot, which is nice. So, yeah. Oof. Yes. okay, I'll tell you what we got. I guess I might as well start this off because I'm not sure where this is all going to go. But the first piece I'm going to have you read, Rex, is by Frank. I'll say it nicely. Frank. It's so much easier for me than stressing on saying his name correctly. I'll leave that for you. And it's called Ridicule. So whenever you're ready.
Ridicule. Ridicule by Lauriane Montana. I often wonder why people hold in the highest regard geniuses and treat them like gods with a reverential servitude. I suppose it deals with the complexity of inferiority that many people feel. Many people fall into that category of aspiring dreamers. It is not disturbing who we envision ourselves to be, but who we really are behind the masks of illusions that we become delusional. No one in this world is deserving of a palatial throne, as no one in life is entitled adulation and worthless statues of tributes. What makes a man worthy is not being paraded as a symbol of power and wealth, but more the virtues of his conscience. Time records our episodes of life. It is what allows us to be human in the mortal sense. When we stop being human, we are doomed to our fate. What is relevant is not belonging to the throng of empty souls, but confronting one's imperfections with self-acceptance. The pseudo-society that we have created is just as terrible as that quasi-world that we misrepresent with our false humanity. I fancy the aesthetic beauty of the artistic image of our own creation than the artificial cruelty of man's contradiction. Ridicule is the tribute paid to the genius by the mediocrities of ignorance. It is better to adhere to the thought that being a genius will only last as long as your ingenuity. Those men that laugh the loudest are the men that are often the worst of our suits. And so on.
Nice read, Rex. Nice read. Another one of those great pieces by Frank, you know, where he hits on the word went right out of my head. But, you know, he makes so many great points in here, you know. Where is the one I had in my head? What is relevant is not belonging to the throng of empty souls, but confronting one's imperfections with self-acceptance. The pseudo-society that we have created is just as terrible as the quasi-world we misrepresent with our false humanity. You know, I mean, he gets into these really philosophical pieces and thoughts, and he digs in there, and he does a great job of expressing his thoughts in this poetry. So wonderful job, Frank, and thanks for sharing. Sorry we had to carry it over. Yeah, great piece.
Oh, mine disappeared. Hang on. Come back. Ridicule. I mean, hits on that idea of small-mindedness at points, and the fact that the largesse of people who think themselves more worthy of adulation and I guess the note of sitting on that throne than anyone else. And it kind of hits at the idea of the smaller notes having that that ease and objectivity in ridiculing those who sit within that power structure that think themselves more than anyone else, because that power structure delivers and equates themselves above everyone else. The law doesn't apply to them. The usual etiquette of life doesn't apply to them, because they are the ones that seal themselves within that sphere and hold themselves not accountable for anything. So I like that idea of ridicule itself, because without actually giving something back or having some meaning within the lives of other people, those who sit up high have no real value. I think that's the idea between what Frank is offering up is ridicule. We need that note of being able to cajole our betters or supposed betters into realizing who and what they are. They're just another one of us, except they've got better clothes, better education, and their shit don't stink as well, supposedly.
I don't know. There's a line of that. I had to behave myself. See, you make me want to say bad things, Rex. I don't know. I get in trouble. The lady that runs it, she be giving me help.
It goes with that notion. Opinions are like arseholes. Everyone's got one. And they all smell the same.
Yep. But you know me, I would say opinions are like noses. Everybody has one and they all smell. See? said, I try and keep myself out of trouble with that Phil woman. She's mean. And I start acting stupid, boy, she gets on me. Just saying. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, that was a great piece. Okay. Well, my next magic trick. Oh, excuse me. It's really not the company. It is the hour. I am just no good for nothing. Okay. This piece I'm going to read is by Jenny the Deep, and it's called A Mama Bear's Devotion. Here we go. Mama Bear has been unleashed from her cage. With it is years of repressed rage. A feral weasel, infectious like rabies, messed with the wrong mom and her baby. My precious cub is not ugly or dumb. Your heart is just jealous and smug. How dare you toxically spread your hate all over the internet where it can't be erased. My daughter is my one and only motivation. No time to waste my life in hibernation. When all you do is hurl hurtful words, it makes me want to take you out of this world. We will not be feared into staying in our cave. Joke's on you when you see my furious face. End poem.
Great, Regine. I like that. This one's upfront in its meaning. And it is that next generation that needs the most protection. So it is it's a poignant note to the fact that all children should be stood up for in the same manner and value, because without them, there is no future. So to all you you gob-stopping, hob-nailed, booted turkeys out there, watch your fingers, watch your toes. Otherwise, the hell you goes, because mama bears don't mess around, and you might find out there is a bit of humor in that last line about my furious face. To touch you, you don't know what you get when you see mama come.
Yep. That is so true. I've been called such a few times. Okay.
Yes, you have.
Yes, I think there's a poem or two about it. But this is the way it goes. Okay, Laurent, oh my God. See, he's the one who wrote that poem. That's how I know. That's how he got there. Listen, I have Andy Cha. His piece is going to be up next. Here is your challenge of the night.
My challenge of the night? Oh.
House of Windows. Yes. There we go. Low puddles. You find it, Rex?
No, it hasn't come up yet.
Well, you were right. I did put it in. Yeah, it's a...
Ah, there it is. Yeah. It just came up.
There you go.
Oh, damn. Okay. Let's see what we got here.
No, it's a tricky one.
All right. House of Windows by Andy Chow. Prelude, breathing. Just how am I supposed to sleep again tonight? When she, infinitely far away from me, I feel the weight of her cold, sinking breath. Here I go, down that road again. Grief. I'm told there are steps to it, 7 or maybe 5. A spider small staircase to help you, building her web, track your progress. The way to the top, acceptance. Besides, it isn't there yet. What no one tells you is she wears it down. It's really just a mass of interconnected roundabouts. It's a process of creation. You say, reach acceptance and decreation, only to find yourself soon after back in the stages of shock and denial. It's not that you want to, really, but those memories lure you in towards the warmth of dawn. I see them from the distance down the icy road. I saunter. My shadow jumps ahead of me towards the dawn. It's a bad omen. Alas, I see the scarf you wore last night. Last I saw you, I feel a surging surf swell inside my eyes. It's the memories that cause you to fall again. We all have an elephant's memory for catastrophes. It's February, specks of eraser start and frigid to dot any frozen little desk. I enter another night. Stars fall like poem lists. White hands, they accumulate, eventually to pass the time. I, two by two, build them into trying mountains to reach the ground. Time, it searches in Mercury's hues. It speeds faster, and those stars faster. What they don't tell you about, death, it's forever. Start falling, it's a conclusion. Faster now, finality, paperweights tied. Any death will always outshine at a fingertip. The sun, a sheer white glare, flakes, blinds you. Seeing again becomes effort. I remember touching you in a waking sleep, your scent now wafting from mattress pores. Just how are you to know sometimes I still check the dark? If you're there, how are you to say my hands reaching? That is this, into the dark, or that, silent air beside us, that is right, that is that. I remember your touch in the dark, drawing, don't you see? You, the lightness of your curves, make the possible, how they still, just that much worse, render even to the darkness impossible to be. It's February, the last February that I went with you, last February I spent with you. We went to the Red River to skate. The air on thin, hardened sheets that clings of winter skin to your mouth. We flew like birds flying away in a cloud against a serious, understated saffron sunset. White mist, pickerel underfoot, hurtling away from the winter, always thunderous cracks. Enters like a blade of sharpened steel blades into your lungs. You feel its sharpness. I was happy. You were happy in your blood vessels. You remember too much at times. And why? Just where? Where are you to place these memories now? Along some roadside where a vagrant could pick them up? Would he treasure them too, the way you did? Memories oppose the coming day like a wall. I slip into the future, left, wonder, wounded, wandering down some wayward path, wondering, we will remember us. Who will remember us when I've gone too? You cannot break away from the path. You may ask the road where it goes as you gaze into the horizon, but a road will do what a road does. Okay.
Well, it was a good read, Rex. It was a tough one because of the way it was laid out. It was kind of difficult to figure out how it should be read. And in fact,
that's the general play to find out how one would actually read it.
Right, right. You know, this, I was thinking while you were reading it, I'm going, And I mean, I think myself, it reminded me a little bit of E.E. Cummings, you know, how he puts his little parentheses in there with his little, like, notes. And I thought to myself, God, you know, if I thought about this ahead of time, you know, you could have read what was on the left, and then I would just kind of come in and read the parts on the right, because it appears that they're supposed to be together, but I'm not sure. And it was a little tough, because I don't know what's right or wrong, and neither did he, Andy. So I'm not sure what to say, but... it was a little interesting, and I wouldn't have been easy for me to figure out as I was going along, that's for sure. But a nice piece, a lot of good thoughts, throughout and everything. Poem of grief and loss of a loved one, and that's a shame. I mean, it's rough, But definitely the emotions were well penned, and it was a nice piece. As I say, the stuff on the right was just a little confusing. Had that all been put together just as its own separate thoughts on the side would have been good. I think, just my opinion. We all know how they were, right? We already had that discussion tonight. So nice work, Andy, and thank you for sharing with us. Well done. And, good attempt at being a little different.
It is, because it offers up the landscape on the one side, but little touches that you could infer by the way I read it, or offsetting itself. Right. You could have I could have done it another way in rolling. I don't know. I guess it is a matter of wondering how one might read it in the moment, as opposed
right.
to, because you've got it all right in front of you, line to line across, even though you've
mm-hmm.
got, as parentheses, you might offer it as a thought or two, that note to the whole stanza, and then pushing that thought. It exhales in a swelling of the air, the drone of midnight cicadas, could be the sound that's offering in the moment. And that's because of what that first one, the prelude of the breathing, you get that note within that thought on the side, within that thought of breathing, but also that the angle he's taking, the late night, the wandering, the bend of not just the activity of being alone and how you're reacting in that moment, but the thought that comes with it, the midnight cicadas, the sound that drones on that air, and it kind of fits the mindset itself. So I like that. And then that note to the spider building a web beside it isn't there yet. She tears it down. It's a process of creation and decreation. That note, the second stanza of creation, decreation, grief, that note of passing within those seven stages, the anger, the what ifs, and everything else, and then the finality in understanding, moving into that next realm. So I got to read into this a bit more, because each falls into that note of something else, the failing memories, the dark. So it does kind of hit on that thought of not just grief, but the loneliness brought about by the grief and how one deals with it going into that night. In different hours. So I'm going to have to read this a couple of times and see what I get. The end of the road angle hits too. It does hit on that note. As you gaze into the horizon, a road will do what a road does. And at that designation, you take one of two paths, the road to the left, the road to the right. The idea is, which one do you choose in that moment?
Absolutely.
Because you're always given a choice. And the choice will be yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice comment. Yeah, it was an intriguing piece, Definitely something to kind of ponder over. Okay, well, the next one I'm going to put up is called The Sticky Hour by A.R. Mundell. And I'm going to give this one a read. The Sticky Hour by A.R. Mundell. The last hour dragging through the day's strands, like fingers through long hair, stroked the wrong way, leaving hours of cat-tire shivers hanging on sluggish seconds, catching on knots of sticky conversation and tugging lightly on strained patience, steeped in cold tea, reflecting anticipation, bubbling through the haze of ink. End poem. Oh, the haze of irk. Sorry, vocal issue with the ears of Irk. My bad. Sorry.
Okay. Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. I like that note, that last sound, like hitting on that last nerve, so to speak. And you know how brushing hair, especially long hair, you get, especially with kids. Oh my God, what a pain in the ass that can be, especially when you get to the knots. And then you get that shriek, ow, you're tearing my hair out. So it does walk that angle too, but it also walks that angle of impatience, not of being tired or just in a general foul mood to begin with. So all of a sudden, everything is amplified and that's bubbling through the haze of irk. You know something at that point, you're just a hair's throw from going over the edge and just going bonkers, so to speak. I like this. Nicely done, Amy. Thank you. All right. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I like this too. I look down here. It says work 9 to 5, boredom and brevity. And then when you look at that, and then you look at the sticky hour, it's like, yep, the last hour of the day, dragging through the day's strand. It is the most painful hour of the whole workday, is that last hour, because it just never seems to move.
That's good. You watch the clock.
Yeah, you know, you do. You're like ready to get out. It's like it just never... It can't come fast enough, and it never seems to move quick enough. And yeah, you know, you don't want to start anything new because it's the end of the day, but you don't want to, I don't know, but I totally get it. I do. And steeping cold tea, reflecting anticipation, bubbling through the haze of irk. Yeah, that last hour of the day irked the daylights out of me many a day. You know, it's either that or else I was so wrapped up in something that it was well past time to leave when I figured out that it was time to leave. It's always the way, right? But I think it was well described, you know, catching on knots of sticky conversation and tugging lightly on strained patience. I think it's pretty well well put, you know. It's good metaphors in here, reflecting that time. So nice job, and thank you so much for sharing, Amy. Really nice piece. Nice little brevity. Well done.
Boy.
Yes. Okay. Amy, I'm giving you a short little comment here because I wasn't writing when I should have been. Let me see how that is. And Rex is going to bring us the Dark and Auras for you. So
oh,
let
boy.
Me put this one up. And this is called Becoming Treasure by Darkened Auras. And there you go.
It's funny because 2 weeks ago, we had the first iteration of this treasure. And then after midnight, we got the second iteration. And I commented on air that, where's part three? There should be another.
Yeah.
And what do you know? Christina says, yeah, I'll write part three, and it was done about 15 minutes later. And there it is.
There you go. Nice.
Becoming Treasure by Darkened Auras. Captain Blog, day one. I'd been a fisherman for nearly a decade, day in and day out, catching fish for the masses. To say my life has been an adventure would be speaking through rose-colored glasses. So I have decided to change my course. Thanks to recent dreams that I've had, I'm now set sailing into the ocean today in search of a creature I heard of as a lad. Captain Blog, day two. I have to say for once it's a beautiful day. The sun is shining and there's a light breeze. I've got my net and I've got my rum. I say it's glorious sailing the seas. I'm heading for uncharted waters. That's where rumors say it sleeps. No one brave enough to prove it, but I must go where curiosity creeps. Captain's Log, day three. Another beautiful day again. Such a breath of fresh air. Broke out that habit of feeding others who never cared or didn't share. My net has netted some really neat trinkets, and this is only day three. Even if I don't find this beast, Just think of how rich I will be. Captain's Log, Day 7. Sorry, I haven't gotten around to this log. My next is on endless chase. Artifacts of plenty, silver statues and gold. What went on in this place? I'm getting close to the uncharted parts. Were these treasures all offerings? And if they were, should I be taking items of worshiping? Captain's Log, Day 10. I couldn't help myself. Kept hauling up my net. What's a monster need with them anyway? It hasn't hurt me yet. I lost sight of my mission. These treasures are so vast. I may need to make another trip. My boat's piling up fast. Captain's Log, Day 13. Dense fog crept along the surface. It's been here for 3 days. I think I've drifted off course. It's going to cause delays. I hear distant thunder clapping. I think a storm's approaching. As voices invade my mind, something evil is encroaching. Captain's Log, Day 23. A wild storm tossed my boat as if playing basketball. I have no idea where I am, and my compass is no help at all. It just spins and spins, and there's no more daylight. I've run out of rations, ate the last of it last night. Davy Jones, Captain's Log. I'm leaving this message as my words will be bound, proof of my sighting, in case I'm never found. I think I've woken the mythical beast, but I also believe now thou'll be its feast. I snapped a picture right quick and put it inside this bottle with my log, in hopes that someone one day will find it, and I'll be known for more than just a sea dog. And bone, and log.
Nice read. Nice read, Rex. Kind of makes me wish I had heard, I had read the other two.
They're down the bottom.
Yeah. I can't read them now. Captain's Log. Yeah, you read that Captain's Log, you know, where she's pulling up treasures. And thinking about consequences that may come by doing that. But to me, that little bit of greed keeps her pulling up more treasures, you know, and then all of a sudden she's out there so long that, you know, she's well past the point of return, you know, there's no rations left, there's not much else going on, that's a day of loss, you know, where do you go now? A wild storm tossed my boat as if playing basketball. I have no idea where I am and my compass is no help at all. It just spins and spins, and there's no more daylight. I've run out of rations. I ate the last of it last night. You know, just throughout the poem, the captain has lost perspective, you know, in an ongoing process, you know, and finally dropped a note into a bottle in case he was never seen again. So I think it was a nicely written piece. It does make me curious about the other two, so I have to check them out. But a great story told.
Yes. I do like that opening note. I've been a fisherman for nearly a decade, day in and day out, catching fish for the masses. There's a duality in that, the note of actually being a fisherman, but also a kind of note to priestly duties, being the parish priest, so to speak, a fisherman, teaching the people how to fish instead of just giving in the meal itself. To say my life has been an adventure would be speaking through rose-colored glasses. Disillusionment at that point. So I've decided to change my course. Thanks to recent dreams that I've had, I'm set sailing into the ocean today in search of a creature I heard of as a lad. A change of life at that point. And then note for beautiful days, light breeze. Got nets from, and the seas are fair. And the uncharted waters angle hits on that notion of the old map where it had the earth as flat. And when you got to the edge, you see ships falling off it, noting that idea of you've lost in the back end of things. And also that note to this is where monsters be, so to speak. I like that too. The again, day three, all going good, beautiful. And then something, a change of pace, the note of how rich he'll be. All of a sudden, it's come to that point where greed sets in, that note to the silver and gold that comes up. And it does hit on that idea, too, of those places where people go and do offer up gold and silver, whether it's in statues or coinage or something else to the gods, so to speak, for a great season for food or looking for rainy weather, all of that stuff. And then that space. He's been so busy that he hasn't done any recording. But he does log in on day seven, artifacts of plenty, silver statues, golds, then that question of what went on in this place, getting close to the uncharted parts, were these treasures all offerings? And if they were, should I be taking items of worship? So now it comes back to the idea of should I be doing what I am doing? A little bit of conscience or the note of, I could be doing better things. Like the reversal back to the first end where all of a sudden the adventure is getting a little bit quasi-funny in the moment, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then he admits, I've lost sight of my mission. These treasures so vast, I may need to make another trip. My book's piling up fast. Greed is setting in. And then it goes another few days before he hits on day 13. Dense fog, something eerie is going on. And then almost, and then 10 days before you get to the next one. The wild storm being tossed about kind of hits with the idea of be careful what you wish for, especially if you're by yourself, those things that may come upon you. And then that note with Davy Jones, Captain's Log, the idea he's already perished. Yes, you got that message in a bottle angle thrown into the water so it may actually land somewhere on a shore to warn people, and he does hit on that idea from the back end. He wants to be known for something else other than just a sea dog. Maybe the idea of imparting a tale of degrees and how one falls from the promise of what they were doing to begin with and walk into the angle of greed, defiance, and the idea of the seven sins and what you get with those seven sins.
Mm.
Self-destruction.
Yes. I see she has notes here that she has a few Easter eggs hidden in there. I don't know. You're usually more
that?
To She said she's got a few Easter eggs hidden in this poem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I have no idea. I'm not good at catching those things. You know what I mean? But I said give everybody something to think about. Because I don't know. There's a good bit of things going on in here, you know. But a great poem. Like I told her, I have to go back and check out the other two and see what's what, you know, so I can pull the whole thought together in my head at the same time. So, great job, Darkened Auras. Okay, now, let me do this. See, Puddles couldn't find any Easter eggs either. But I never find the Easter eggs, even when, like Rex will be sitting there spouting them off left and right. And he'll go, oh, I missed that. I always feel kind of silly. yes.
The Easter eggs that I was thinking of might not even be the right Easter eggs, but that's all right.
Yeah.
The message
in
the bottle angle hits me up with police, so that could be part of it. The note with the fisherman up top could be the idea of born out of Christianity in the early days, be the fisherman.
Right.
And it could also hit on that note of the fisherman on earth is called today the Pope, so that note of treasures and greed might be the angle of the church walking down a long way path.
Could very well be. It very well could be. Yeah, I'm just lousy at catching them. I really am. because I read it and I make the most of the words in my head, and then I just keep going, and I don't like sit and stop and think like that, which is terrible because I probably should think a little harder. But
Final treasure seekers.
There you go. There you go. Hey, when you get a good thought and things are going well, there's no reason to stop the bus. You know what I mean?
You run with it until it plays out.
Yep, you play it out, and then you just move on. It's whatever makes a story. Very cool. Well, we look forward to hearing that one. So that'll be one we're looking for, Christine. Just so you know. Okay. And the next one I'm going to put up is called Gravity. And this is by Olivier. And I'm going to give this one a read. Yes, yes, yes. Gravity Alarm by Olivier. Class broke in the middle of the night. Shoes were put on to protect our feet. Discarded shards of a cup of memories, never to be held or sipped again. Trashed. We did our best to sweep and vacuum every glass splinter, careful not to come to harm. Ah, the joys of owning a cat. End poem. Yep.
Great reading. Nothing quite like a catastrophe in the evening. And it's only in the evening. You know what? They sleep all bloody day long. They are night prowlers. And they do enjoy, especially when they're from kittens into their, say 6 months old and up into their first few years. Boy, do they like raising hell at night. Why? It's like they've got speed in their veins and they're running up the walls. So, but they are funny. When they get to that point, all of a sudden, you got a pair of them. Oh my God, they get into their antics, and all of a sudden, fur flying everywhere. There's stuff all over the floor. There's a house plant where all the leaves are eaten off, and the dirt's all over the floor. They used it like a litter box.
Right. Absolutely. So funny.
And then you curse them because you can't get back to sleep. And meanwhile, they get on the bed. Hey, come on. I'm ready for sleep. Now, feed my ass.
That's right. Now.
You ate earlier.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I like this piece a lot. I really did. At first, I was like, what's going on here? Because the glass broken in the middle of the night, and it says shoes were put on to protect our feet. Discarded shards from a cup of memories. It was taking me a whole different direction at first. And then it says trashed, and I'm like, wow, you know, is this like the end? Because, you know, Olivier usually has something very lighthearted. And I said, gosh, is this like the end of a marriage? Is this like, what is this? And then, you know, we did our best to sweep and vacuum. And when he came in with that last line about, the joys of owning a cat, I went, yeah. Because, here you go, you get up, put on shoes, get the broom, you got this little project in the middle of the night that you weren't looking forward to. And here you are. But I think he really hit on it. I think he hit the truth in this. I like the way he worded it out and kind of was a little misleading at first, with his direction. But I think that was good because it kind of brought it back around a little bit better because of that. It's a great piece.
Meow.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Or you get the one when it's in season. It's ow, ow. God, throw a shoe at the damn thing. Shut up.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
It was funny. I just stared at my cat and he gave me the crazy eye.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, let me see now. Let me go back where I was. Okay, now the next piece will be a little easier for you to read, Rex, because you don't have to. Just saying. I have an audio.
Oh, my God. That was funny, Christina. Thank you very much.
Oh, my gosh. Too funny. Okay, now this piece is called Entropic Beauty by Robert M. I just put up the link, and I have an audio. So let me hit that button.
This is my recital of Entropic Beauty. Can you mend the severed sun that parted with the dusk? Shattering horizons scatter my soul in spiritual eclipses. Fragments of mundanity evolve into a coalescence of greater wisdom. Consciousness shifts as perpetual attrition accelerates entropy. Can you squelch the darkness with cascades of starlight? Cosmic filaments shower their ancient wonder upon the bleakest of canvases. Majesty bestows its boon despite reality's horrid truths. Timeless agonies shudder in their multitudes beneath the embrace of eons. Can you so easily part these skies in such unabashed equanimity? Every blessing and curse resonates within the heart like a choir of beauteous terror, fracturing, fomenting chaos in its stark duality. One no more than the other, since hell is merely the shadow of heaven.
Great read, Robert. Thank you to SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. All right, Jamie.
I thought this was just a, you know, another really well-written piece by Robert. You know, he has an exceptional way of wording things. And he can hold that bit of a dark note. Sometimes it's more than a bit, all the way through. Can you mend the severed sun that parted with the dusk? Shattering horizons scatter my soul in spiritual eclipses. Fragments of mundanity evolve into a coalescence of greater wisdom. Consciousness shifts as perpetual attrition accelerates entropy. He's got a wonderful way of just wording things and making you look at things in a different perspective. You know, I have to guess that he saw the image first and then wrote to it. I could be wrong, but if not, he did a great job finding something, hunting something up to work with the poem. You know, I mean, it just is a really well-done piece. Another great audio by him. You know, and I could pick any of the three stanzas because I think they were all... I did like his last line, though. Hell is merely the shadow of heaven. So he kind of put things in perspective there as to the yin and the yang of it. But, yeah, excellent job, Robert. And thank you so much for sharing. I appreciated that. Yep. I did.
Yep, you hit on that. The yin and yang. You can't have a life without the dark. So that note in the first line was really cool. But I also, that shattering horizon is kind of my soul and spiritual eclipse. Kind of, that hit me with, I didn't even see the picture, that hit me with the idea of looking through stained glass as the light hits and you get that refraction of light in different hues and shapes on the floor or across someone standing in there. And that coalesces the greater wisdom, the consciousness shift, the perpetual attrition accelerates entropy. Then you get that little touch of darkness with that last one, which rolls into the next one. and disclose the darkness with cascades of scarlet. So again, the light and the darkness, the cosmic filaments shower their ancient wonder upon the bleakest of canvases. Majesty bestows its boon despite reality's horrid truths. Time and agony shudder in their multitudes beneath the embrace of the arm. So again, that kind of walks into that note of you can't hide behind the note of what's depicted and how that light shines down. You still got to note that which has come before it and that which will come after as well. And then that sort of easily, can you so easily part these skies with such unabashed quantity? Every blessing curse resonates within the heart of a, like a choir of Ujjayi's terror fracturing. Ooh, again, that note to the splitting of light and how it can be seen in different phases in the moment. And I do like that the finish in this, where he's offering up, hell is merely the shadow of heaven, as if the fight for either one ends up as well, what some people term as hell on earth, so to speak.
Right. Absolutely. Did you see the picture yet, Rex?
Yes.
It is the one at the top of the page.
Okay,
cool. I did something a little different when I posted it, so that's why I wanted to be sure. Okay. Very good. Ready, good. Ready, good. Yeah, it was a nice piece by Robert. I do tend to like his work. Absolutely. Okay. The next piece I have is by Titus Llewellyn. And this is called Phosphorus, Morning Star. So let me put that up. Okay. Well, I'm going to put this up. The room is kind of out of sync with us. So this is called Phosphorus Morning Star by Titus. So let me find that audio. There we go.
Phosphorus Morning Star. Wishing to be that girl from the dark, her remark it was duly noted. What the mirror was now telling, then what my own eyes do see, it lit the first spark, which drew the dawn with my eyes now welling, change for the better. Whether or not this, Signora, taking you out of your safety zone, a love in a mist, doth spray overhead as Greek gods adorn the tiara, fitted with moonbeams, her reflection sun-kissed. The best of both worlds feature the morning star across the sky. Her lowly plane is due to raise high the hopes and dreams of anyone. From oh so far, hung do silver clouds reveal, so deep was her sigh. Now that would be telling how once a pale heart became warm. It was said it came from her mother, Eos, goddess of the dawn, who adorns our upstart gatherings of silk, like milk and honey do smother. Phosphorus, her name, she would chiefly explore from afar the acceptance of others, as in her class. It's safe to say the dew will exalt to tears and more, chiffon layers do conform. A majesty of gods, alas, appearing in the northern sky, signaling the rebirth of longer days, as winter once again brings to wane. As torchbearer, the end of the tunnel where Earth is situated, there its orbit lies, now her star domain.
Gregory Titus. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. All right, Gene, what do you got? But you got to unmute first.
I'm at the halfway, a little less than halfway. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, what can I tell you? Yeah, I love, I thought this was a great piece. And this is part of his Earth Angels series, pointing to people that he's met and experienced, or had experiences with throughout his life, I guess. And I think that was pretty nice. This person was a dedication for Susie Krang. From experiences, rather coming out of darkness into the light to exact on white. So, I mean, he's, in that respect, is a beautifully written tribute piece, or nod to his friend. I don't know if I would call it a tribute piece, because it doesn't expressly say, you know, anything about her in it. But now, that would be telling how once a pale heart became warm, it was said it came from her mother, Eos, goddess of the dawn, who adorns our upstart, gathering silk like milk and honey do smother. Phosphorus her name, she would chiefly explore from afar, the acceptance of others as in her class. It's safe to say the dew will exalt its tears, two tears, and worship on layers to conform the majesty of God's alas. You know, just lovely writing. I mean, Titus does have such a way of making each piece seem like a classic piece, you know, because of the way he words it. He definitely is a master of language. I think that this was excellent. Just a really well-done piece. Tony, and thanks for sharing with us. Much appreciated.
Nice. Thank you. I do like, you write the language like chiffon layers to conform a majesty of God the land. And there are gatherings of silk, the milk and honey do smother. Some lovely lines. And not so much, as you said, the tribute, but maybe an exalted note to the help garnered along one's travel and bringing one the awareness of how life can still adorn one's day if the mindset is there. So I'm getting this would be that helpful nudge along that path to seeing with open eyes and that which eventually comes along. So it's got that honoring note as well as that classic note to it as well.
Right. Yeah, it was kind of hard because it was like tribute wasn't quite right in my head, but it definitely was a definite nod of appreciation. So, yes. Okay. God, I'm typing slow tonight.
Yes, now we got Naomi on the board, too.
All right. Maybe she's joining us. Oh, I don't know. I don't see her. Uh-oh. Lost the studio.
Uh-oh.
I'm back. Thank God I'm back. That's too crazy. Hello, Naomi. I can't see her yet. I'm trying to hit the button. Let me see. Okay, let me see now. The next piece I'm going to put up is going to be by Ben Hart. And Rex, I'm going to get you to read that. Let me put it up. This is called For Nothing Life by Ben
Hart. Oh, I see. For Nothing Life by Ben Hart. I only suppose what I know, that the settler is to love the something greater than it was supposed to be loved. Perhaps that's why I envy death, because she will always love you most, and I will only love you wholly, because she gets to decide when the cold lets itself in, and suddenly there's distance to a touch, because she knows the road beyond, and gets to see how the absence of time looks on you as she guides you through the holy life. and what I chisel from master poetry, solely for the purpose of this earth, never forgetting what would always be the best thing to ever happen, will be a monument incomplete, and so, for nothing, and gone.
Hello.
Alright, Jean.
That's a great piece by Ben. You know, I like up here in the second stanza. Perhaps that's why I envy death, because she will always love you most, and I will only love you wholly. Because here on earth, we can only love someone for so long until it turns around and it's gone. We can love you with all we have, but once it's over, it's over. Death is eternal. It goes on forever. So, you know, when someone is gone from us, you know, it's a whole way of thinking of it. And I like that thought there. I didn't really like the thought, but I like the thought. She gets to decide when the cold lets itself in, and suddenly there's distance to a touch. I don't know. I think it was just a great job. Very well said. This is much shorter than what I'm used to seeing from Ben, but that's, you know, neither a complaint nor a compliment. I'm surprised when it was over. I'm like, oh, check this out. But a very well done piece, Ben, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Yeah, I think you did a great job with this. So, nice work.
Well, it does fit on death and love. But I don't think there's almost a touch of romance that walks within this too. I suppose what I know, but suffer is to love for something greater than it was supposed to be loved. The idea of having that which is more to you than anything else in the moment. And then the kind of question of, perhaps that's why I envy death, because she will always love you most, and I will only love you wholly. The idea of someone passing. Yes, death. Death holds that note of eternal love, because you've already passed on. And the idea of holy can be only in the mortality of self. And I do like that third stanza, because she gets to decide when the cold lets itself in, and suddenly there's distance to a touch, everything gone in that moment. And then he does offer up that holy light, the walking to the into the light, so to speak. But I do the finish, and what I chisel from mountains of poetry, solely for the purpose of deserve, never forgetting what would always be the best thing to ever happen there, will be a monument incomplete. So it's the perfecting of love, the romance of the love. Never meet the same value of that love felt in the moment. Nicely touched upon, Ben.
Yep.
All right, we're back to you, Jean.
Well, if you're going to wait on him, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee or something. Absolutely. Okay. For my next magic trick, I'm going to put up this piece called Forgive You Anyway by Jessica C. Wheeler. And let me give that a read. Forgive You Anyway by Jessica C. Wheeler. It's time I come to claim control, for I have given you too much. The past will take me with its toll if I remain inside its clutch. A child's plea you will not get. That little girl, I did not stay. You let me down without regret, and I'll forgive you anyway. The stand I needed you to take, you couldn't care enough to give. You put the life you made at stake, but I don't need your love to live. From what you chose, I choose to heal. Your unsaid words will have no say. I'll grant you what you've yet to steal, and I'll forgive you anyway. My skin was bruised, not by your hand, but from your failure to protect. Of all the strikes his fist would land, the hardest hit was your neglect. What's done is done, I can't undo, but I'll not give you one more day. the peace I make won't come from you, and I'll forgive you anyway. End poem.
Great reading. I think that's that. And I'll forgive you anyway. That's the crowning note, because it didn't come from. I'm guessing it is the mother's refusal to protect the child against from the father who's being hit. Even though it's taken some years to come to terms with it, she is offering up that note of forgiveness for the frailty, the inability to step up and be who she is, the protector in the moment, despite the fact that the other protector is doing the damage in the moment. So,
right.
There is that note of once you do offer up that note of forgiveness, you also forgive yourself in the moment. So there's a cleansing note to letting it go by forgiving both yourself as the victim and the one who neglected to protect you in the first place. I like it. All right. What about you?
I think that this was just wonderful. Wonderfully written, wonderfully expressed. You can feel the hurt in it. And then that last line, and I'll forgive you anyway. It's like, you know, I'm moving past this. You know, this is what you've done. This is how it was. But I'm going to forgive you anyway because I have to keep moving on. And I have to I have to heal. And I think that she just did this in a wonderful way. I like how she did every other stanza had the repeat line, which I think it made it a little less of, which is good. But definitely a well-written piece, a great rhyme and meter to it. Just really, really well expressed. So, Jessica, I think this is just a fine piece. As always, again, she's another one. I tend to always like her writing. I think she usually has a topic that I can kind of, roll with. So just a great piece and well done. Yes. Okay. And get my little fingers to finish. And let me go back. Let me see now. The next one we have is called In Loop by Quicken. We have an audio for this.
Cool.
And let me hit the button. Oh, I have no studio. Hang on. Are you serious? This thing is crazy. Oh, Naomi's on the line. Hello, Naomi. Oh, wait, and Robbie's
Hello.
Here. Too. I know. And Robbie's here. I know because she's raising his hand. I'm holding the mic. Wow, that's crazy. And hello, Robbie.
Hello.
How are you?
Not bad, yourself?
And I didn't even know it. I'm pretty well. It depends now. The last 30 seconds, you wouldn't know I was doing pretty good, but I thought I was doing pretty good up till then. God, you know, who wants to play tricks on me? What is that? So, anyway, it's good to have you both here. And
good to be here.
Yes.
Aren't we in sync?
Oh,
well, who else we got here? I heard Naomi. Who else we got?
We have Robbie.
Oh, cool. Hi, Robbie.
Hello.
Okay.
Yeah, we both said good to be here, and it wasn't even scripted. It was like an echo, an unintended echo.
Pam and I have done that twice, I think, in the last two or three shows, whichever. We went to say something, and it was perfect use. And I think her and Naomi have done it, too. They said it was one complete watch. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny when it happens. It's hard to accomplish on the radio. Oh, my goodness. So, I just put up a piece by Quicken, and I'm going to play his audio. So, here we go.
In Loop by Quicken. Sometimes, feels like I'm just running in circles while constantly asking myself why. Why does every day feel like I'm stuck on the same ride? Spinning round and round, but never actually moving a step forward. Each morning kicks off with the exact same routine. Wake up, get ready, step off to work, clutching on to the sliver of hope that today might be the one to break this monotony. Deep down, I already know it's all just the same old loop. So life's just blurring together, days blend into nights, and meals might as well be identical. On a rare occasion, something new flickers by. It's just a brief reminder that I'm still trapped in an endless cycle. Night comes, and there I am, in front of the mirror, wondering if this is really all there is to my life. Feels like I'm screaming for some change into a black hole. The night's supposed to offer a break, isn't it? Pulls from the constant looping. So I lay my head down, trying to find some semblance of peace in my sleep. But it's in those quiet moments right before I fall asleep that reality of my circular life hits hardest. Dawn breaks, and it's like pressing that replay button, ready to live the same day over, trapped in a cycle that feels like it's woven into my very soul. What is it that keeps us glued to these patterns, unable to break free? Is it the comfort? The fear? Or maybe it's just something else entirely. We tread these familiar paths day in and day out, hoping for a glimpse of change, but never really finding the courage or the way to make it happen. And the real kicker, when you think you've finally found an escape, a fresh start, turns out to be just the beginning of another loop. Different shade of the same routine. Acknowledging these loops and seeing them for what they are, maybe that's a step forward towards something more. But even then, finding a real way out always seems just to be out of reach. When you think you found it, that escape turns out to be just another loop. A new cycle masquerading as freedom. It's suffocating. Of being caught in a trap that mocks every attempt to change. Every longing for a moment of true difference. And each time I dare to dream of more, the dream is quickly swallowed by the grim realization that it's just another loop. Here I am, stuck in this endless cycle, yearning for a way to break free, but always, always winding back at where I started. Trapped in a loop. Forever searching for who I am, maybe who I could be.
Great read, Quicken. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. All right, Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, my gracious. This was just amazing. The music in the background, but his voice too. And the poem, the write itself, it's so relatable. I just captivated by the whole thing, you know. I just felt myself right in this reality. And I think a lot of people can. I really like the line, when you think you've finally found an escape, a fresh start, turns out to be just the beginning of another loop, a different shade of the same routine. And isn't that so true? My gracious, I've been in different relationships and it's the same thing. You think you're finding something different, and then it's the same thing that starts all over again, and you fall into the same patterns, the same routine. And, I can relate totally to this. And I just absolutely adored this. It just was so amazing, so relatable, and so authentic, and just amazingly well written. Wow, bravo, bravo.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. And Robbie, how about you?
This made me think of a couple of things I was pondering today myself. I was just writing my own work and posted it for tonight for this show. And this made me think of how, like, some, it's kind of ironic, like, sometimes when you're seeking to escape a loop, you kind of almost make another loop that way. Like, I find I'm trying to find things to get out of mundanity and some of the same old routines, but some of those things are becoming the same, and it's hard to really break out of that when it's the environment around you, the level of bureaucracy, that is what's causing the load of things. They have really hard to escape it. And I like how, in here, like, you see the picture of the circular pattern, and you see the line sort of goes, the trail going straight through. And I think that's a good visual representation of what we're talking about in the world where you're
kind of fading out there, Robbie. Do you have a radio on as well?
No, it's someone else. I think I don't have anything else.
Okay.
Well, here, maybe it's me.
Maybe that's you.
Yeah, I was wondering because I heard it on another end. I didn't. I only have my phone on, so.
Now you're coming clear, so whatever happens, it's gone.
did anybody hear? Oh, there was really cool. It's coming in again. It's on and off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know. Gene. Oh, it's you.
It's me.
Gene doing it. Huh? Yeah, it's you
time,
doing it.
Every time I unmute, I hear you guys saying it's back. I don't know what it is because there's nothing here, you know, unless it was just the fact that I was loading up another SoundCloud, but I don't see how that would be.
I heard something else going on in the background, like it was echo of the voice that was going on, so that's why I asked.
Yeah, well, I had myself on mute for a long, long time because I didn't want to... Well, you know how I get when everybody's doing stuff. If there's an audio, I try and, you know, turn myself off. But I thought this was an excellent piece, well written and well said. I thought the thoughts were wonderfully real in it. And I think we all feel that way from time to time. I was totally on board with Naomi and what she had to say about it. You know, it was a great share for tonight and really enjoyable. And I liked the kind of Midwestern or Southern kind of draw we had in our voice tonight. Like, who is that? I laughed and I went, but it suited the poem very well. It really did. You know, I just, yeah, this is a great piece, Quicken, and thanks so much for sharing with us. Well done. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was the soft note that I took notice of, and it reminded me of... the opposite angle of Bill Murray in Groundhog Day, where everything's pure chaos, and this is the opposite angle, being the soft side, being illuminated in the moment, because all of a sudden you've got the ease of music in the background, and minus the chaos, you can actually offer up that voice, which reads a little bit further of what's going on. So that Groundhog Day effect works, and it does hit on the idea of how time leads in on itself when you get into that mode of being in the loop, and how you make another loop if you try to do something a little bit different, yet you don't go far enough in that difference, so you end up just making another loop itself, continuing that grace and still walking within that very same realm, so you get stuck. And unfortunately, everybody feels that at some point in time, kind of hits on the idea of find something you love to do, and you'll never work a day in your life. That note of being always ever present in the moment, instead of trying to step outside of one's own body and self, because that's the only way you can get through the day. So, yes. Nicely done, Quentin.
Nice. Very nice. The next piece I'm going to put up is called It's Been a While by Hope Soul. And Naomi, I'm going to ask you to read this one. And whenever you're ready.
Okay. Getting back there. Okay. It's been a while. Do you ever dream of my love? A gentle touch that rests so tenderly on the bough of your arch. Does my affection caress your flesh softly, wantingly, with all the swoons and bouquets spring gives while kissing winter? Good morning. As warm port wine pours out of the bottle, legs of red running, wrapping round, swirling the glass, wine tears droplets cling to the crystal flute, wanting to be sipped upon just as badly as the unafeel wishes to indulge to practice a skill. Do you shadow dance with me in late night corridors after hours of work, just before that final toss of the cigarette? Do you rest your tired curls on pillows thinking of my own, missing my feminine lace that rocked you to sleep so many nights not too long ago? Think of me, what I am. Dream of encounters, tilt your head back to taste that single drop of passion which lingered on those taste buds. Take my silhouette along beside you during those hours of singing, heavy machinery pushing vending machine waffles, cappuccinos, and quick 5-minute breaks. Oh, baby, just take me. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, what do you think?
I thought you were going to go to Robbie first. So much for thinking about that. This is a wonderful piece by Hope, and it's been so long since we heard any of her work. This is a treat. What is it here? As warm port wine pours out of the bottle, legs of red running, wrapping around, swirling the glass. Wine tears, droplets cling to the crystal flute, wanting to be sipped upon just as badly as the unophile wishes to indulge to practice his skill. Do you shadow dance with me? Oh, I just love the whole, the way this just unravels all the way through. And the way that she shaped this poem is perfect because it does kind of, It just fits the way it struck my brain, you know. It had that, as I said, unfurling kind of rolling, moving movement to the words themselves, and I think it was beautifully done. And it was an excellent piece, Hope, and thank you so much for sharing it with us. Beautifully written, and yes, I totally get it. So well written.
Nice. Thank you, Gene. And Robbie, how about you?
Well, I liked how the poem, like, literally had the shape of flowing because of the way it's formatted. It kind of felt like, I don't know if she's trying to imitate the line with that, but it did feel like there's that flow there. And it was overall very sensory. And so with the flow and with how sensory it was, especially with all the taste, like the cappuccino and the wine and that, it really helped to make you feel like you were part of the poem, and like you just had that a very sensory experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Robbie. Naomi, you got to read it. What about you?
I'm muting myself. Yeah, wow, you know, and you know, Phil talked about the shape of the poem. I really think that's a silhouette. Could be a silhouette of a woman there, her silhouette, or a silhouette, Yeah, I think so. And but I agree. The way that it just, the words just flowed down. It was just perfect. You know, just wet with the kind of dreamy, nostalgic longing of the poem there. You know, just the, those, that wishing, you know, for somebody to just, you know, wanting them to miss them, wanting them to be, to love them, wanting them to want them. I really love this all the way through. It just seems that it poured out. I love the imagery in it, the wonderful metaphors, like the wine pouring out of the bottle. I really like that one. And then do you shadow dance with me in light night corridors after hours of work, just before that final puff of the cigarette? You know, you can just see that, you know, the long hours of work and, you know, that break, that cigarette break and tossing that cigarette. You know, do you think of me there, you know? And she addresses so many different times that question, you know, during a day. What do you think of me? And longing for him. You feel her longing, you know, an ending when, oh, baby, just take me. It's just amazing. All the way through. Very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. I, too, thought of a silhouette first, but because of the language and what's in this, this is actually, this is a flute, a wine flute from top to bottom, but it's only half.
Yeah.
There's that question that walks through the empty space is supposed to reflect on the other half getting an answer back to make the flute a whole piece. That questioning note of do you think of me? The red running, the red legs running around the crystal glass, the thoughts you dance. It's all a question of missing in the moment and wanting to hear that comeback voice offering up his angle to her questions and his thoughts to her answers, his thoughts answering to her posed questions. So it is a lovely piece, and I like the shaping because it does offer up that note of a callback. Where is it?
Absolutely.
Nicely done, though.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dean, we're back on you.
Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up, Rex, I'm going to ask you to read. This is called I Am Everything I Was by Daniel Descino. And if the site will let me put it up, there you go. You can read it whenever you're ready. Awesome. Yeah, you can't find it. There you go. Oh my God.
It's one of those nights. One of those awesome crazy nights.
Yeah. I've lost the studio twice. I thought that was pretty common. You know. why should AP work? You know, nothing's working right. Yeah. Do you want me to put it up again, Rex?
Oh, it hasn't even come through.
There you go. There's white.
There it is.
It's
now
there.
It
thanks, Naomi. I feel better.
I Am Everything I Was by Daniel Descino. I ascend through the levels of life as a video game hero, experience after experience to lead me to the next adventure. Childhood seems a dream, a memory of a storybook fairy tale, and yet I feel every adolescent wonderment somewhere deep that still laughs with innocence as a child only can. And as I carry me a backpack of all I ever was, I represent all I have been. Nothing has died as long as I am alive. Smiles of youthful playmates, my smile as all. Footsteps and bioluminescent breadcrumbs still glow in the sparkle of my eyes. No one is gone with the stories I tell. I am balanced as I carry the weight of all that becomes me. I represent. I just hope I do it well. End poem. And Robbie, why don't we start with you, please?
I liked the, in the beginning, the characterization or the metaphor of ascending through levels of life as a video game hero. I think especially with how ubiquitous and common video games are these days, that's something that pretty much everyone or most people can relate to. And the whole poem kind of carries on with the feeling of life as a journey. And one point I particularly like here is, no one has gone with the stories I tell. So it's touching on, or it's telling about the idea of how stories make everyone immortal. And what intrigued me was, and he says, I am balanced as I carry the weight of all that has become me. So it's like, it's a very intriguing and very unique way of kind of putting it, where the idea that even though life's thrown all this junk at you, even though, you know, you've gone through all this crap, like, you're able to carry the load, and you're able to carry it in a way that it doesn't become something that not just like people say, oh, the life weighs you down. But in this case, it kind of goes even beyond that. It's where it's like your trials partly at least define you. And it's something that doesn't make you, I'm just trying to find the right word, doesn't make you like basically go unhinged or like lose your values, that sort of thing. Like you're balanced in the most essential sense of things.
I like that. An acceptance of self minus all the baggage that comes along with some things. Nicely said there, Robbie. Thank you very much. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, you know, me too. I like the way he started off with the video game hero. Like in video games, you accede to all these levels. You go through all these levels to beat the boss at the end there, most of them anyway. So you're going from childhood here to your adolescence. And and then you're growing up as an adult, but you know, you don't forget all those things, all those parts, all those that journey that you already, and those experiences that you had, make up who you are today. And you know, and he says that in here, and he hopes that he represents. And what I represent, I just hope I do it well. You know, that he carries all that what he is, what he's become, that he is, that he turned out okay. And yeah, Daniel, you did. You surely did. And yeah, so great, awesome poem. I really liked it.
Thank you, Naomi. Jean?
Well, you know, I thought this was a wonderful piece by Dan. I noticed that it was written for a contest, and this contest was Today I Am 73. So I like how he captured that essence of youth and carried it throughout this poem, hoping that he says, I just hope I do it well. But behind that is all this, childhood seems a dream, a memory of a storybook fairy tale. And yet I feel every adolescent wonderment somewhere deep that still laughs with innocence as a child only can. You know, when we look back at our youth, you know, we kind of, I think it hits a lot of notes there. And I carry as me a backpack of all I ever was. I represent all I have been. Because that's what you do, is you live and you learn and you go forward. You know, you still carry those pieces with you. you know, there are some things we ditch on the way, but, you know, we take the lesson with us still. But I think this was a wonderful piece by Dan. Very nicely done, Dan, and I love the way you pulled it off. It's a great job.
Nice. It had me thinking of something else. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dump, don't be silly chump. Just push your lips and whistle. That's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. So he's got that notation within this piece that does work. If you're continuously looking for the lemon, then you're not squeezing the life the right way. It is that idea of looking at life, and as Robbie said, if you accept everything that comes along in its turn as that learning lesson or learning level that moves you up to the next point, then you can take that along with you. Instead of it being the load of baggage that some people take with them, it becomes that thing, that mistake you never make again. So you get to look on something with a little brighter look and outlook. Smile, sing, dance, yes, that's all part of life. And if you're doing that, you've got a better outlook on things. Why? Because if you're always in the dumps, it's not a good way to live. So the smile, the happiness, stopping to smell the roses, and always remembering those tidbits of life that were happy, that were good. You concentrate on those things. The other ones you can just wash away. They mean nothing in the moment except your learning experience from them.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, let me put up this next piece. This is called Liquid Gold for the Masses by Pam Wright. And I'm going to give this a read. The Liquid Gold for the Masses by Pam Wright. Where flowers die, the wheat is crushed. No one can speak, their voice is hushed. The golden calf has come to life, bringing sorrow, bringing strife. She stands her ground with raptor claws, fools her cut, tube in her maws. The people tremble in their fear. The bovine brute is always near. They bow down low to drink her milk. They bow down low to drink her milk. She abhors their born of their oak. Those born of her oak. Wow. They wander round with whining needs. Their destruction shall be their greed. She offers them her swollen teeth. They gobble down this splendid treat. It whips her throat this liquid gold. But there is a secret she is not told. Her milk's a bane of them for the masses. She bellows on while death he dances. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, right away, you know, this made me think. I went right to Wall Street, you know, and, you know, in New York, and, you know, with the bull there, you know, that you try, that you get to, well, you can't touch it anymore because it's enclosed there. They have a fence around it or whatever, but you used to be able to touch it, and it was supposed to bring you good fortune and money. And so I think this is what she addresses. I could be wrong in this poem, but, you know, that golden calf, you know, that you bow down to. You bow down to that greed, that want for money, that want for riches. And, and you lose your soul while doing so, you know. And I think, you know, it's she did a marvelous job, Pam did in this write. And, awesome. You know, it's gritty, it's raw, and you know, it has a great message. So wonderfully done, Pam. Awesome job.
Thank you, Naomi. Robbie, how about you?
Well, I definitely thought of as well of, you know, worshiping, false worship and such, and, you know, where there's the idea, the passage of not worshiping false idols, and there is like that image of the golden calf from way back in the day, and there's like there's an awareness in here of like the idol knows its effect, and which was something that was interesting to me, because usually the idol is just presented as the idol, as an inanimate object, but here it's represented as something that's aware of itself and that knows of itself. And it's interesting here in the image to see the claws. I was kind of wondering about that, because like when a usual image has one single thing that's very different, to me that usually says something about what it's trying to represent something. And then I wonder, well, okay, it's probably representing something. What's it representing? And I think it's cool that with Pam, like how much she likes cows, and she always has her cow avatars, and that she actually has a cow in a poem, and it's in a poem that has like a feather. It's meaning to it.
Nice. Thank you, Robbie. All right, Jean, you got to read it. What about you?
You know, I thought it was a fabulous piece by Pam. Her rhyme and meter were spot on, as always. It was well penned. Yeah, and I felt bad. I stumbled over, what, two stanzas, I think? And there was no reason for me to stumble except for, well, you know, heaven forbid I should, like, be paying attention. But they bowed down low to drink her milk. She abhors those born of her ilk. They wander round with whining needs. Their destruction shall be their greed. You know, and it goes down. I took it down to the end, and I think that it was another really well penned piece by Pam. You know, she said what she meant and meant what she said. That's the way I see it. And excellent job. Thanks, Pam.
All right, I'm going to go a little bit different. Do you remember the movie back in the day called The Attack of the 50-Foot Woman?
Yes, vaguely.
Okay. This one, bow down to the 50-foot bovine beast. Pam is on the loose. Oh, especially when she looked up that note, and there was it. She offers them her swollen teeth to gobble down this splendid treat. It warms their throat, this liquid gall, but there's a secret she's not told. Her milk's a bane for the masses. She bellows on while death he dances. The beast is out of the cage. We've got bovine, spongy form, encephalitis rolling across the shores.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, cow disease. The next thing coming.
Oh, my gosh. Terrible. Did I get it?
It fits the picture because of what she's offering up there, that big cow with the claws. And the more of death.
There's not enough gold in the world to cover the picture. That would be a lot of gold.
There you go, quick and got it. Pam is on the loose.
Yeah. Okay, kids, look, I got two poems left to go. Let's see if we can't do them. And the first one is going to be needled by Robbie Poetry. Robbie, could you give that a read for us?
Okie dokie.
Right.
So, I just wrote this, like, at 9 o'clock.
There you go.
Rough. Needled. Every moment of every day, with everything that everyone does, with everything that everyone says. It has become increasingly hard to navigate like water, to find the joy in the everyday of late. Overpricing and understaffing, seeing poverty in the field, I cannot find the joy I used to, man, in the little things I do for myself to pass the time away. There has always been trials and tribulations of life, but of late, circumstances have coalesced to make every single day a trial. It usually sounds like a patent cliche, but everything is truly not the way it used to be. I think of this as I try to find food that will not break the bank, to try to find a social gathering that will relax my mind. I ponder on this as I do all the things that I must do, but all such events now are so much more arduous than they used to be. I feel needled, and it is truly infuriating, aggravating, and frustrating. And all I can do is to do my best, hoping finally for better and more peaceful days. And that is needled.
Nice read.
Great read, Robbie. Thank you very much. And Jean, you want to start?
Yeah. I just am trying to, like, soak more of it in. But I like what you had to say, Robbie, and I did read your author's notes, so maybe I'm cheating, but, you know, this is my F you to how things are these days. I came up with the term feeling needled with all that is so much harder than it used to be, than it has to be. I was thinking about how all the big box stores are price gouging and at the same time understaffing, making it hard to get customer service. Absolutely. There's more and more happening that necessitates arduous procedure, such as many dividers in grocery stores canning receipts with astronomical theft rather than hiring more security or making things harder to steal in the first place. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, when I read that, I was kind of like, yeah, I see where this is going. But, I like this from the start, and I took it down to the second stanza. Needled every moment of every day with everything that everyone does, with everything that everyone says. It has become increasingly hard to navigate life's waters, to find the joy in every day of late. Overpricing, understaffing, seeing poverty in the streets. I cannot find the joy I used to now in the little things I do for myself to pass the time away. It's so true. We all go through it. You just gave it a name. And, yeah, I think you did a great job expressing it in this piece. So, well done.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I think you really put the hammer to the nail when you wrote this, Robbie. You know, you really struck on something that a lot of us feel. You know, we do feel needled, as you say. And that's a great term, by the way. It is awesome, very creative and very witty. You know, feeling needled every moment of every day with everything that everyone does and with everything that everyone says. You know, that's a great beginning. And, you know, all through the poem, you just feel that frustration growing and growing. And, you know, just the way that you state it, one stanza after the other, your message really comes through and so relatable and just an awesome write all the way through. Very well done, Bobby. Robbie, my gracious. just amazing.
I'll add my agreement to that because this hits on the note of what more and more and more people are starting to feel, that crunch it bearing down as the system that is failing all the way around us. The needle, that hits me on a couple of levels because you can walk that into not just being the idea of how things are being dealt to us, but it walks on another level itself too, the thought of the deliberateness within it and how it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, unfortunately. This year is going to suck, unfortunately, and it's going to be hard on a lot of people. It's already hard. You got people making 70, 80 grand, and they can't afford to live at the moment, which is sad to the nth degree. And still, we're paying right now with the interest on the debt is $1 trillion, which kind of equates to 30% of the national revenue each year, which is hellation. So, well said there, Robbie. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and for our final piece of the night, I have this piece called Hope by Naomi Sarah. So, Naomi, if you can let it read, I would much appreciate it.
Okay, this is Hope. The Damp Night. Look, the storm is back. Okay, Hope. The damp night tucked under a woolen dove gray sky carried that biting cold, the kind that only stops on the porches of sturdy, thick-walled houses. But as I stood in the mud, murky water bubbling over my boots, gurgling as I walked, I knew this would be no glossy magazine mansion photograph. As from behind the rain-splattered window of a tiny wooden cabin, tumbling beneath rust and rotten planks, I saw a brittle frame like a ghost in a land of torn paper dolls. Her hollowed eyes stared at me like snuffed-out wet ash, chilling my bones as a door left wide open to the wind, an icy wind slamming only to fly open again. But she sat there so still, petting her pup, her little cold-nosed furry friend with fluffy floppy ears and deep brown eyes, gifting her with a hope she had never known. And as the storm swirled around her, she waved and smiled, her face glowing, blowing raspberries to the world. I'm still here, I'm still here, I'm still here, hugging the whimpering muck to her chest. And in that instant, I heard the song of the rain, the drums that are the windows, cymbals that are tin roofs, the soft, soft maracas that are the music of the grass, and humming I waited for dawn, the cheery chattering of the birds. And come.
Nicely read, Naomi. Thank you. And Robbie, why don't we start with you, please?
Well, with the tone of the picture, the way it looked, and then, like, with the subject matter of the poem, and how it was, and, like, the style of the writing, it kind of reminded me, actually, of photojournalism. Like, when you see those pieces of photojournalism where with the article where they're talking about something that's happened somewhere that they're, you know, it's almost like sometimes like something that nobody else will cover, like say in like a war-torn region or something like that. And in here, it's kind of a moment in time with both the photo here and the event that's being described. And it made me think of, like, with nature and how...
Life Magazine?
Yeah, like with Life Magazine and things like that. And, like, at the end here, the music of the grass, the music of the grass and the humming I waited for dawn, the cherry chattering of the birds. It's like the comfort of nature there amidst the troubles and... just the preciousness of when, you know, you find an animal in distress and you get a comfort. So like it all kind of narrowed down to that for me with the, almost like a photojournalist's piece of, oh, here's somebody who's found a dog. And especially since this is a black and white photo, the black and white photography really tends to be associated with those kind of pieces.
Well said, Robbie. I agree with you. Those notes of picture-taking, real photojournalism from 40, 50 years ago that aren't done anymore, that's where you get these type of pictures that give life to the moment and give one the ability to offer up this descriptive tone that's rolling through the whole piece. That opening stanza is gorgeous, gorgeous in the starkness, and the finishing is even gorgeous in the illumination of what the day brings after all that has happened. So nicely done, Naomi. And coming to you, Jean. But you got to unmute first.
There's pretty going on and on. Naomi, this is a wonderful piece, as always, and I did leave you a written comment. I want to remind everyone that there is no Part Center, Part Saint tonight after midnight, because Aphasiana is still feeling under the weather. So now that I said that, and everybody hurt me.
yeah, this was just fabulous, Naomi, all the way through. Your descriptions, your imagery and everything is just so spot on. And you hit a lot of wonderful folks. It was tough grabbing a stanza or two. I got to say that. Of course, I had to grab more. So that's what I'm going to say. But wonderful job. Robbie, thank you for calling in. Naomi, thank you for calling in. And thanks to everybody out there on the board. I know Rex always knows everybody's who's ever out there because he's much more in tune than I am. Rex, thank you for calling in to co-host with me. Well, make fun of me now. Don't be laughing. I know it's true.
I just imagine those bunny ear antenna on his head just like moving him about, and I'm picking everyone up.
Yeah, exactly. But no, so it was a great show tonight. Lots of wonderful poetry. Quick, and I thank you for the second piece, but I'll be moving that to next Friday. And we're all good. Great poetry as always, and I look forward to next week's. And Rex, I'll see you on Sunday.
All righty. Have a great night, everybody.
Everybody,
good night, everybody.
Good night.
Okay. Much love, everybody. Good night.